Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 21. We have before us one of the scripture's rare glimpses into the spiritual warfare going on in the heavens. It will not do for us to speculate about these things beyond what the scripture shows us. How quickly one can fall into error by intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Colossians 2:18. We look into the spiritual fight by what we see in the Bible. Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 18 tells us of a war against spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places. All our armor for the battle has to do with God's word. We must not stray from scripture in this battle, or we will drift into philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Colossians 2:8. If we err in this way, we shall surely be overthrown. We have already seen by comparing Daniel 10 verses 5 through 6 with Revelation 1 that the messenger sent to Daniel from God was none other than God the Son. It was he who said, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days." Daniel 10:13. This raises a difficult question, and on to which there is no answer apart from Scripture. Can Satan and or his followers hinder God's purposes? We understand this prince to be a fallen angel, one of Lucifer's followers, a ruler of the darkness of this world involved in spiritual wickedness in the heavens. Parts of God's dealings with Satan and with sin are an unrevealed mystery, but we do know some things. By studying Scripture, we learn that spiritual forces control the affairs of men. Men are ruled by evil or by God, one or the other. You were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Ephesians 2 verses 1 and 2. See also John chapter 12 verse 31, John 14 verse 30, John 16 verse 11, Revelation 9 verses 15 and 16, and Revelation 13 verse 2. The influence of spiritual authorities is too broad a topic to be dealt with fully here, but Satan and his angels exercise power over men and nations. We resist their power through faith and prayer. 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 and 2, 1 Peter 5 verses 8 and 9. We know also that God has determined to utterly destroy Satan's power. "I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub." Ezekiel 28 verse 16. Satan is a powerful creature. He is cunning beyond human understanding. He has allowed authority in the earth, which, for the present, is undeniable. Even Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, did not bring railing accusation against him, but called on God to rebuke him. Jude 1 verse 9. Nevertheless, the fall of this evil being is sure. He is only a creature, but God is the creator. On God's side, the warfare in the heavens is not to determine which party will win. He has already determined the outcome, and power belongeth unto God. Psalm 62 verse 11. So then, can Satan effectually, successfully resist God or hinder him in his purposes? The clear answer of Scripture is no, despite the appearance of such hindrance here in Daniel and perhaps in our own experiences. Yet God does not choose to overthrow Satan now, and herein lies another question. Why does he allow sin and wicked beings to do their work? Of course we rest on his sovereignty. We say with Nebuchadnezzar, "He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" Daniel 4 verse 35. Even if we do not understand God's purposes, he is still right and has power to do what he will. This does not answer the question, but only if we see this can he show us more. In Psalm 51 verse 4, David told why God allowed him to sin. Paul quoted him in Romans 3 verse 4, "That thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged." God allows Satan's forces to work against him and his people, at least to a degree, because Satan's failures prove God's word to be true and his judgments to be righteous. Next, notice that the one who appeared to Daniel said, "Lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." As this rebellious angel, the prince of Persia, resisted the eternal Son of God, Michael came to assist him. This raises yet another question, one which has moved some to reject his evident identity as he who would become the Son of Man. The question is, why was it necessary for Michael to help him? Couldn't he win the battle alone? After becoming a man, Jesus faced Satan when he was tempted, tried and proven in the wilderness, and vanquished him using just the scripture. He overcame him for us when he died and arose, canceling the power of Satan for all who believe. Every sinful principality and power in heaven and earth was arrayed against him, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphantly showing their defeat by his resurrection and ascension. Colossians 2 verse 15. He has right and power over every authority, force, and name in the universe. Colossians 1 16 through 19 and Philippians 2 9 through 10. It would be absurd to suppose that he found one of Satan's minions too powerful for him and had to call on an archangel for help. But pulling together what we have already learned from this passage, we can begin to understand why Michael helped him. First, we know that the evil angelic prince of Persia withstood him only because he was allowed to do so. Second, he was not destroyed out of hand only because Christ chose not to do so. It follows then that Michael came to help only because it was appointed to him to do so. God ordained that he should come and fight. This in no way implies that the battle depended on Michael's strength. Consider other cases. God could have destroyed Goliath by miraculous power, but he allowed David to win the victory over him. David said to Goliath, "The Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's." 1 Samuel 17:47. He knew that God did not need him to win the battle. We too are given a place of warfare by our prayers and faith. "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." James 4:7. We know that God could make Satan flee with no help from us, but this is our preparation for a place with Christ in the heavens. Revelation 19:14 shows his glorified people following Christ into the battle to defeat the beast and the false prophet, a battle which will end with Satan's being bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He will not need us to win that battle, but he will give us a place with himself. God chose to use Michael in the fight. That is enough. Michael is called the Prince of Israel. He knows God's revealed will concerning that people better than anyone except the Lord himself, Daniel 10:21. That is a part of his appointed task. He is shown as the holy angel who stands in behalf of Israel, Daniel 12, verse 1. This standing up for Israel is clearly a stand against sinful angels who oppose God's will for that people. It will apparently be in this capacity that Michael and his angels will cast Satan and his angels out of heaven, Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. Would Daniel have seen the vision if he had ceased to pray and to humble himself before the end of the 3 weeks? In the book of Job, we see Satan insisting that Job would curse God to his face if God withheld his protection from him. He was wrong. Satan's forces did not want Daniel to receive this revelation. It is not recorded just what accusations may have been made against Daniel, but whatever the case, Daniel remained steadfast, a testimony to righteousness, giving practical proof of the value of faith. We see again that a full revelation of Christ and his work for us humbles the flesh. Hearing of the battle fought on his behalf, Daniel could not lift his eyes from the ground. Strength was gone. He could not even speak. By the light of religion, our strength and goodness can appear sufficient in the light of his presence. They are shown to be empty illusion. Although it is avoided by men, whose religion is largely soulish and carnal, seeing the weakness and corruption which are present in us is valuable. Imaginary strength and goodness are dangerous. On a simple level, a child imagines that he knows how to cut hair, and experiment is made, resulting in a shamefaced child. And if the issue is serious, Once as a small boy, I imagined I could swim across a pond. If someone had not been there to help, I would have drowned. Better that I had known my weakness. God did not leave Daniel so. In love, he wants men to know their weakness so that they may possess his strength. One touched Daniel, strengthened him, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. Daniel 10:19. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. The battle with Persia's angel prince was not finished. Part of the Lord's purpose was for a Grecian empire to supplant the Persian empire. Daniel 10:20. It would be years in the fulfillment, and naturally, because God had ordained this transition, the powers of darkness would bitterly oppose it. Before returning to battle, however, the Lord would show Daniel things which would become a part of the scripture revelation concerning Israel's future. He considers it to be of vital importance for his people to know the truth which concerns them. May we, like Daniel, agree with him.